eyes on what is important in life. I want to ask you, when you figure everything out at the end of days, is it stuff or people that's going to be the most important thing to you? It's going to be people. Because I don't care how nice that Corvette is, you can't drive it in the pearly gates. Hello, somebody. You can have, what do they call those nice bags, Gucci? But Gucci ain't going to make it into heaven. Hello, somebody. You can have that nice old big old watch with that. It looks fake, but everyone says expensive. Michael's watch, you just walk around with it. You can have one of them big old watches on your wrist. By the time you get to glory, it'll be gone. Hello, somebody. There's nothing you can carry over into that place but what's in you. And if you are full of love and compassion and grace, then what you're carrying in is worth more than you could have earned on this earth. Somebody say amen. Amen. But woe be to those who carry over hatred and anger, and those who carry over bitterness, because that's their reward. And woe be to them when they look up and they're wondering, why, God, am I not in your kingdom? It says, because you didn't want my kingdom when you were on earth. For the word of God says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to read to you a story about three young men, and I need you to understand why they were able to do this one thing. And I want you to write this down. This is our takeaway for today. You have to persevere to purpose. Please put that up on the screen. Persevere to purpose. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to persevere means that it doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy ride. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go right for you. It means you keep your eyes on the prize. And that no matter what happens to you, what tries to delay you, what tries to stall you or hurt you, your eyes are kept on the prize. And you're saying, you know what? I'm not going to let you slow me down. You ever had somebody just talk negative to you? And you're having a good day. Hello, somebody. Your day was good. I mean, you smell like jelly beans and cinnamon crackers. I mean, your day was good. You know what I'm talking about? And then a person come along bitter in their own soul, angry in their own soul. I mean, sour like a lemon that's been twice squeezed, sour in their own soul. And they speak to you bitterness. And they speak to you in a way where you go, oh, man, why'd you have to talk to me like that? There was no, ooh, that hurt. There was no need. You have to know that you can just wipe their words away because you're not stopping me from getting the glory. Your words may be sour, but I'm going to put in a little bit of water, get me a little bit of sugar from Jesus, and I'm making me some lemonade, and I'm going on. No, sir. Your anger, your bitterness, your bigotry is not going to keep me from his glory. Hello, somebody. You don't want to achieve? Stay where you are. But I'm telling you something. I'm moving up. What is it in the old days? I'm moving on up to the deluxe apartment in the sky. Come on. I'm moving on. To the sky. I finally got a piece of the pie. Woo, I butchered that one. But I'm happy anyway. Sometimes when people get you down, you got to go find that place where you just walk away and you lift your hands before God and say, God, I erase everything they just said over me. I erase it. You don't know me. Someone look at you and they look at the outside of what you think, what they think you can achieve, what they think your ability is. And they say, well, we'll put you over here. But you already know you got more in you than anybody in the room. You don't have to say, listen, it's just a matter of time, baby. Just a matter of time. I'll have your job. I'll be on top. I won't be on the bottom. God made me the head and not the tail. I will lend. I will not borrow. You'll be coming to me for lunch. Come on, somebody. You got to keep your eyes on the prize, because there will always be people that say they're the kings in your lives, people that say they're over you and trying to make you bow down, try to give up your standard. And I learned this in college. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. You got to have a standard. If you're a believer, you got to have certain standards. You don't go, I'm not going to go to that club. I'm not going to drink over here. I don't care who over there. I don't care if it's Uncle Ray Ray. I don't care if that's Auntie Boo Boo. Boo Boo, I see you. That's what it's going to be. You're not going to cause me to stumble because you already fell down. No, sir. No, sir. I remember in the day that the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room, they were all in what? One accord. And they were doing what? Praying. And they were seeking God. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came down. First, that sound like a mighty rushing wind. Can you imagine? They were, in those days, the roof was uncovered. So people could see you up on that roof praying. And all of a sudden, it sounded like wind, a hurricane. And everybody looks up to notice what's happening on that building. And all of a sudden, everybody on that building started to speak in an unknown tongue. And everybody's going, what are they saying? And all of a sudden, they're speaking in a language that was the language of everybody down in the street. And somebody, you always got that one person. Always got that one person who doesn't know a miracle if it bit them on the face. The one dude in the scripture, huh, look at them. They're drunk. They must be drinking up there. And the Bible says tongues of fire came down upon them. And I love Peter didn't come down to explain anything to that man. See, you can't leave your upper room when people start doubting your abilities. When people talk about you, you can't come down from your upper room. That's where he told you to go. That's where he told you to stay. He said to the disciples, go in Jerusalem, and I want you to stay in that room, and I want you to pray until I show up. And he gave them specific instructions. What has God told you to do? Don't let anybody who doubts you pull you out of your upper room. No, God told me to go to school. So you telling me I don't need it? I'm not listening. You've got to know that what God has called me to do, I don't have to explain to everybody. It's so unique. It's so powerful that you probably wouldn't believe it if I told you. So all you can do is watch how God blesses me. I don't have to argue about it. I'll just show you. In the Old Testament, you got to know who you are lest somebody take your name from you. In the book of Daniel, there are three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were brought into Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, give me some of the best boys over there. I want to be smart, wise. They've got good language. They can be in my court. I'll take them and I'll raise them up in the ways of the Chaldeans. I want them in my house. And so they picked four of them, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And all in the book of Daniel, chapter 1. He picked them up, put them in there, and said, now y'all belong to us. And then time went on. When there was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar could not interpret, and he couldn't figure it out, and he says, you know what? Call all the wise men. And he says, I need you to interpret my dream. See, this is the difference between fake and powerful. See, God doesn't deal with 1-800-CALL-ME-NOW. He doesn't do that. You don't have to call God for a blessing. You ain't got to put money down for a blessing. You know, whatever God gives, he gives freely. Watch this. He called all of his wise men and said, I had a terrible dream. Tell me what I dreamed. And all of his wise men said, how are we going to do that? It's impossible. There's no way to do that. Tell us the dream and we'll interpret it for you. And you know what his response was? He says, you're wasting my time. I've only got a window to figure this out, and you're wasting my time. Now he says, now either you tell me what my dream is and then interpret it, or you're dead. No pressure. And those wise men went nuts. They went crazy. And the king began to slaughter all of the wise men because they couldn't tell him what his dream was. But they got down to Daniel. And Daniel knew his God. See, there's something about when you know God. I mean, when you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. You don't have to worry about what comes your way. I mean, it may look like death is coming after you, but if you know God, you can make death bow down. Somebody say amen. You better know him. When stuff gets rough, you better know that there is a God in heaven who can stop the stuff. Hello, somebody. My God, when there's a hurricane coming, we're not sitting here worried. We're rejoicing because we already know God protected us. So, hey, I may be out of lights for a couple days, but my light of my life is still on. Hello, somebody. God kept me. And the Bible tells us that by the man got to Daniel. Daniel said, hold up now. Hold on. Give me a second. He went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, listen, y'all, I need you to pray for me. Because I need to hear what this man dreamed, and then I got to interpret it. How many know you can't just have friends around you that don't pray? Oh, come on, come on. Look at your neighbor and say, do you pray? Turn the other side and say, do you pray? Look over them and say, I need you to pray. Come on, somebody, because you never know when you're going to be in need and somebody else's prayer is going to set you free. I need somebody that can call upon his name. Woo! Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Y'all don't get it. There will be times when death is knocking on your door and you hear him jiggling the handle. You better know somebody. Good God Almighty. You better know the man. You better know how to word that thing just right. Hezekiah was named Isaiah, went to the king Hezekiah and said, dude, get your stuff together because you're about to die. King Hezekiah said, I hear you, prophet, but that'll make you better than me. I know him too. He turned his face to the wall. Woo! Let me tell you something. He wasn't looking at the doctor. He wasn't looking at the people weeping. He wasn't looking at his family. He turned his face to the wall and said, now, God, you know me, man. Come on now. You know I've been there for you, God. You know I've served you all my life. You got to do something about this word. And before Isaiah was able to get out the courthouse, God said, turn around. He's like, God, dog it. Could you imagine? That's when a prophet gets mad. Because he says, I know. Oh, man, I was almost out the court. All right, Hezekiah. God said he heard your prayer. You got 15 more years. Go on, boy. You better know how to reach that man in prayer. And you better have some people around you that don't play with prayer. Listen to me. If somebody says, pray for me, don't say, I'll show you, I'll pray for you. Amen. I want to tell you the difference between people that really pray. If I say, please pray for me, they go, Oh, no problem, Pastor. I'll pray for you. Amen. I'll make sure I get you covered. And then I find out the people who really pray, I say, will you pray for me? They say, oh, amen. Give me your hand.
Yes.
And they grab that hand and say, I'm praying right now. Why I got to wait till I get home? Let's do it right now in front of everybody. Jesus' name. That's how you know. But the reality is there will be people that will try to make you bow down because of what you see. And what he did was that they prayed for Daniel. And Daniel saw the dream of the king. And when he saw the dream of the king, he answered to the king and said, listen, don't kill everybody. You don't have to do that. Here's what you dreamt. And here's what it meant. And the king says, man, you're a bad joker. You know God. Let me tell you something. There are men and women of influence that are waiting for somebody that knows God. Y'all didn't hear me. Y'all see, we've been taught, be quiet about your faith. Be quiet. Put your Bible away. Don't let nobody see it at your lunch break. Don't talk about God. It's just not kosher. But how many know that same boss, his marriage is falling apart, and he needs you to start praying for him? How many know that other boss, her daughter is dying, and you need to pray for that daughter? They are looking for you, and your increase comes by being who God called you to be. Don't cover it up. Don't hide it. Don't get on the job and try to cuss like everybody, to get down like everybody so you can hide in the crowd. God will call you out. He'll bring the preacher to your job one day. Hey, son, God bless you, deacon. And everybody go, deacon? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of salvation. I'm not talking about play. I said power of salvation. First to the Jews, then to the Gentile. Let me tell you what happened. After the king saw that these men prayed and got the answer, he put them in big positions in government. They got a promotion because they knew God. Sometimes people will recognize there's something special about you. Because it's like everything you touch turns to gold. That's your testimony. Every time you touch something, it works. And they're trying to figure out how. And that's the time you tell them about who you serve. But watch this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in office. And they were just what you would call government workers. They worked for the federal government. You don't hear nothing else about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego except that they prayed for Daniel. You don't hear miracles. You don't hear signs. You don't hear wonders. None of that stuff you read in the New Testament. Nothing. They were good workers. Somebody say good workers. But sometimes the enemy will come after just good old workers. And you got to persevere to find your purpose. That means you can't give up on the way to your purpose. Sometimes things may get hard for you, but because if you know who you are, you'll never have to bow down to what you're facing. Now, let me explain. All of a sudden, the king got a little uppity, and he decided, I'm going to make me a statue so big. And when I play the music, and it hits that note, I'm going to play the flute. I'm going to play the harpsichord, the sackbut. I'm going to play the dulcimer. And when it all hits, everybody in my nation must bow down and worship my image. And it's good. It wasn't just like he was a beloved king and everybody wanted to do it. He says, if you don't do it, over here, I done made a furnace. And if anybody doesn't bow down, you're going to burn. Wow. What kind of situation is that? That you must compromise in order to survive. What would you do? Here's how I always wondered, how was Jesus able to go to a cross for a person like you and me, as messed up as we are? Hello, somebody. Oh, wait, some of y'all just lying to yourself right now. How many of y'all were messed up in your life? Come on, somebody. And let me tell you something. Jesus foresaw you. And how could he even have the willpower to go to the cross to die for you? Why wouldn't he just bow out? Why in that garden when he was already bowing down on his knees and said, Father, God, if it's possible, take this cup from me. I don't want to die, especially for somebody I ain't met yet. Why didn't he bow down? I want to tell you why. I want you to turn in your Bibles to this verse. To this verse here. John 13, verses 3 and 4. John 13, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. And it's the same thing you got to know. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and what? Went to God. He arose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and this is where we read, he washed his disciples' feet. How is it a man of that power can bow down to wash somebody else's feet? Because if you know who you are, whose you are, and where you're going, there ain't nothing too hard for you to do. You have to know that you came from God and you're going to God. How do I know this? Paul was an apostle who was persecuted for his beliefs. He was stoned. He was whipped 39 times, three times. He was kicked out of the groups of Jews, and yet he kept going and kept going and kept going. Why did Paul do that? I want you to turn to Philippians 3, 13 and 14 to tell you why Paul could do that. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul made up his mind. Do we have it? Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Amen. And here's the words. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. Watch this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are what? Before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There ain't no higher thing for you to go after than God himself. That high calling. Nothing on this earth matters. I forget all those mistakes I made in my past. I forgot what I did yesterday. I get up and I start pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Why? Because even if I don't feel like it, it's still a high calling. And sometimes we don't understand what God's doing in our lives until we get to that moment where we have to decide, will you bow down or will you stand for God? Let's go back to the three boys. He said, I want y'all to bow down at the sound of the music. And all the people in the nations and languages, this is going back to Nebuchadnezzar chapter 3. Go to verse 5. The book of Nebuchadnezzar, no. The book of Moses, no. Daniel chapter 3, verse 5. And here's what was commanded. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, I want you to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Let me stop and speak to some of you here. Not everybody, but some of you. It is the music that makes you fall down. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. It's the music that makes you fall down. If you sit in your car and you turn it on, what will I hear? I see people sinking down in their seat right now. Listen to me, because whether you recognize it or not, music has always been made to make people bow down. You're either going to bow down to God or you're going to bow down to men. When you listen to the music sometimes you hear on our radio, you ought to be shocked. What's that song by the Lennon? Just a little help from my friends. What's that one? The Beatles? How's it go? I get by with a little help from my friends. I get on with a little help from my friends. And everybody's singing it. La, 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 la. And everybody thinks it's a nice song. And he's talking about taking drugs. His friends are barbiturates. La, 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 la. Music, when you get in your car and your music tells you, and many of us have no fathers, we weren't raised with daddies in our home. And so we don't have somebody telling us what's right and what's wrong. And so we get in the car and the music plays and it tells us, well, when you get in a situation and somebody bothers you like this, or somebody takes your man like that, or she leaves you like that, or he treats you like this, this is how you react. And it goes to music and got a good beat to it. The next time somebody does that to you, you stick somebody with a knife. Oh, don't play like I ain't heard it before. Because why? The music taught you. Music will make you bow down if you don't listen to the right kind of music. Watch this. Verse 6. And whosoever falleth not down and worship the same hour will be cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. I threaten you by your faith. Look at 7. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages, what? Fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They didn't question it at all. Next verse. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. 8, 9. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You're the man. Got something to tell you. O king, hast you not made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music? Aren't they supposed to fall down and worship the golden image? Like he didn't know that. Verse 11. And whosoever fall not down and worship, he should be cast in the midst of the fire furnace. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. In other words, your people, the ones you put in place, they don't bow down. And let me tell you what their name is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They don't even like you. Just lying? They serve not only thy gods, they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Look at the next verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his best workers. Then they brought these men before the king. 14. And Nebuchadnezzar said, is it true? And he asked him, did you bow down when I told you to bow down? And you know, I gave you a job. I gave you a promotion. I'm the one who got your income. I'm the one who can hire you, and I'm the one who can fire you. There's a quid pro quo here. Whatever I tell you to do, because I keep you alive, you do it. How many times there are people in our lives, they threaten us with their position, but how many know that they're not the ones keeping us alive? God is. You think you're keeping me alive. You think you're my boss. My boss is in heaven. And if you get fired, if I get fired, he gonna fire me so I can have a better job. So you got nothing on me, man. You do what I say. You do what I say. There was a young man joined a lawn care crew. And the guy over the lawn care crew said, listen, if you're going to work for me, you got to drive down there and pick up the drugs we need every morning. You're going to ride with us, I'll get you a job, but you got to drive the truck to go get the drugs because we lost our license. Bow down. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is continually trying to make us bow down. Look at this. Verse 15, I'm almost finished here. He says this. He gave him another second. He said, now, if you're ready, I'm going to let you do this. But if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fire. And then your God ain't going to deliver you out of my hands. That's where they made the first mistake. Listen to me. I need you to hear me before I close. Come on now. Let people talk about everything else. And you can hold your peace. Did you hear what I just said? Let them talk about your job. Let them talk about all that other stuff. Let them talk about everything. But when they start moving into your religion and your belief system and talking about your God, that's time for you to speak up. I'm talking about persevering means there is a line. There's a line. You must let people know. No, I'm not ashamed of who I am. No, you can't tell me to shut up about Jesus or God and don't tell me he can't exist. I don't care if you're my professor. I don't care if you're my boss. I believe. And that's a line you cannot cross. Watch this. So they were all quiet up until this moment. Look at 16. Look at 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, Nebi, you done crossed the line, bro. You done crossed the line. He didn't call him king anymore. He says, okay, that was your position, but now we're talking about God. Let me refer to you as your first name, Nebi. Okay? Nebi, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I love that. Because deep down on the inside, they know who they belong to. And they're not going to get him angry over some foolishness. They said, let me tell you something, bro. We are not going to be careful to answer you in this matter. Watch this. I love this. This is the kind of faith you've got to walk away with today that perseveres. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. Don't you love that? That's faith. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. That's faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
That's faith. Say it.
Faith.
Read verse 18. But if not. Stop right there. But if not. See, you ain't got faith until you got but if not faith. See, we think that's doubt. That my God can deliver me from anything you try to do to me. But if he doesn't, let me tell you something, O King. We will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you set up. Well, I know God can deliver me. I know he can change. But what if God wants you to make a stand? What if God is really putting you on the spot because you need to make a stand for everybody watching? And if you don't stand, the whole country, nation is going to bow down to a false image. It's up to you. And you're like, God, not me. Make the preacher have to do this. Make the evangelist have to do. No, he's coming in the workplace. He coming to your job. He coming on your farm. He going over to your workplace. And he said, no, I'm not picking those guys. I'm picking you. And he says, listen, if not, we will not bow down to your golden idol. Next thing you know, all of a sudden, King Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, they heated up the furnace 7 times more than it was before. Then the men that took Nebuchadnezzar, they took him down to the fire furnace, and before they could throw him in, they wrapped him with a bunch of clothes. And while they went to throw him in, the men who went to throw him in burnt up. Dropped him one by one. Boom, foosh, boom, foosh, boom, foosh. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Listen, you got to warn people. You better tell people, leave that man alone. Don't listen. Hey. I know y'all disagree, but that man know God. That woman know God. Don't touch him. Whoosh, don't do it. Watch this. 22. And it was hot, and the fire slew all the men that took him. 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of burning fire furnace. Next verse. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste. What in the? And spake and said to his counselors, wait a minute. Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, king, that's what we did. Watch this. He answered and said, but lo, I see 4 men loosed. Good God Almighty. Woo! 3 were bound. But when he shows up, they were loosed. He said they were loosed and walking in the midst of the... Come on, just imagine that. Just walking. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Woo! In the midst of the fire, watch this, and they have no hurt, and the form of the, watch this, and the form of the fourth is like what? Next verse, watch this. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. 27. Watch this. And the princes and governors and captains and kings and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor did the cologne get off their body. They still had their smell goods on. What am I saying to you? Do not bow down to persecution. Do not compromise your integrity, not one more day. If you know to live right, live right. Persevere to purpose, because when you persevere and do what God says, you come out smelling like a rose. And whenever you're in trouble, you'll always have a fourth man that will show up. Come on, let's give God a great hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 At this time, I'm going to ask our announcers